This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode 204 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
This is the show. I watch stuff. Did you watch stuff?
I did.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week. Episode 205.
Yeah. We got all of our preliminary coronavirus talking out of the way before the podcast this time.
We did indeed.
Just suffice to say, we've both been working from home. Mike goes in once a week, twice a week sometimes, but for the most part, we're both working from home. For me, this is not an issue because that's my life. I got my Switch in hand while I'm looking at my work monitors. Animal Crossing came out this past week.
So. Oh my God. That's all I've seen is people play, Animal Crossing. Animal Crossing is so fun.
Oh, dude.
Animal Crossing is so good.
It's so good. It's a very zen kind of game, and it's just the kind of escapism that I need right now. So, yeah, of course I'm happy. Fucking great. So you watched some stuff.
I did.
You don't sound excited. You're like, I did.
I did. Ugh. No, The Rookie. That wasn't on.
No.
Rookie was not on. Superstore can fuck off. I'm done.
I did watch the episode. What was it?
Amy has to bring her kid to work, and so Jerusha comes to help out, and it makes Amy feel less than.
Which this she's is the not setup as good, now that we know that she's going to be gone.
Yeah.
This is her last season on the show. That right. This will be the setup that she's going to be like, no, I need to spend more time with my daughter and my son and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. No, I just don't like the show anymore. Everyone's so neurotic. Every character is just ridiculously over the top stupid, like. I understand when we watch shows, like when we watch Scrubs, when you watch JD from season 1 to season 8, fuck season 9, then you see the how his character changes, how he goes from kind of being a serious college student,
nervous about making mistakes,
having his little daydreams like people do because he's wants to, and then by the end he's kind of like a kooky mess, you know, and you go from hyper competitive Elliot to kind of a little neurotic Elliot. And so there's a progression of characters and they change over the multiple seasons. Everyone got fucking dumb this season on Superstore.
Yeah. And part of the draw of this show used to be that it was about retail.
Yeah.
And so you kind of related to the retail things.
Correct.
It has nothing to do with retail anymore.
No, it's like, just stupid.
It's just about these stupid people being stupid people.
Right.
So yeah.
It's like by the third time they found a foot in the wall, it's like,
yeah, what's the joke here anymore?
Yeah, so it's lost me, and I just don't care about it anymore.
Good.
Good. You say, like, finally, about time you hated it like I do.
Yeah, I'm done with it as well.
School annoyed me this week as well.
Really?
Yeah. Not Meller, obviously.
I was going to say, there was a lot of Meller.
Everything Rick Meller is awesome, and I love it. It's Lainey being jealous because Wilma can sing better than her, and then her little petty childishness about it all.
Yeah. Which, again, is funny because the actress is a, you know, vocal record recording artist.
Right.
But, yeah.
So, it's just...
It was stupid and petty and...
Yeah. So, that annoyed me. CB, his character is becoming more and more goofy and dumb as things go on, over the top.
Yeah.
But no, Coach Meller and Nurse Julie disagreeing on how Toby should be raised. And Coach Meller's like, I love the kid. I want to have input, but I'm not really a parent. And I actually really enjoyed that part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was good.
And I mean, Julie's not a parent either. She's the aunt who has taken over custody of him.
Yes, well, he's his guardian. So,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but she's still struggling as well because she wants to make sure she doesn't mess it up. It's not like she's had this kid her entire life.
She's afraid she's going to screw up too. And gym class, when Nurse Julie was there, is like, well, you can't be here as a guardian. Well, I'm here as the school nurse, so I can be here. Fine. Everyone hit the bleachers except for you, Toby. Go to the Nurse Julie. Is Toby allowed to run the bleachers? Yes.
I love it when he gets so petty as to like the pull-ups. Nurse Julie, do you approve him pulling up? Yes. He pulls up. Hold it right there. Nurse Julie, do you approve him of releasing
the pull-up? Yes. Hey, Toby, stop at that first bleacher. Nurse Julie, do you approve him going to the second bleacher?
Which was over the top, but it was right
but
the
it was, of Mellor. It was funny over the top, yes. And it was really good. So, yeah, no, I enjoyed that show quite a bit. But, man, whew.
Yeah.
I mean, that part of the show, really good, like Coach Mellor and Nurse Julie. But I kind of fast-forwarded through Lainey when she started becoming all petty and crap.
Yeah.
So Wilma, the actress Wilma, is like an actual like recording star?
Oh, I don't think she is. No, Lainey is.
Oh, in real life?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
We've gone over that before. She's AJ of Allie and AJ.
Oh, maybe we have. I just don't recall.
And then her sister Allie was on she was the best friend on Easy A. She was on iZombie as the lawyer friend. Yeah.
All right. No, I must have slipped my mind.
Yep.
I watched a new show. A new old show.
Okay.
I started watching. I saw a commercial for Bosch, and Titus Welliver's the lead character.
Who's
Bosch.
Awesome. He's
and I'm just like, oh, I like him a lot. I didn't even know this show was on Amazon for 6 seasons apparently, or 5 seasons or something like that. So I started watching it. Holy crap, is it good?
Is it?
Yeah, it's Michael Connelly based on a character, his books, and the first season's 10 episodes, and there's 2 major storylines that they tell over the 10 episodes, and they make it work. The writing is really good. The flow of the episodes are 43 minutes, so they could be on regular TV, but they say fuck a lot, so probably not. But the writing is really good, the acting is really good, the storylines are really good. It doesn't feel dragged out, even though the major storylines take the 10 episodes to really bring it home and figure out. It doesn't feel dragged out or they're stalling. Maybe it's because of the source material. Based on the book and everything. But I really enjoy it. I really got sucked in to the point it's 11 o'clock. There are 43 minutes. I can watch one more. It's 11:43. It's only 43 minutes. I can watch one more. I got really. So I've watched the entirety of season one, and I think I'm on episode 6 or 7 of season 2.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was just I just got to go to bed. Last night I'm sitting there and I'm like, I really should go to bed. And then I heard Kate get up to go to the bathroom. And then she goes, honey, you coming to bed? Yep, right now. I shut it off and went upstairs. But yeah, it was just, I really got sucked in hard.
Nice.
Like I said, Titus Welliver, awesome actor.
He is.
He really is. And he plays, Bosch is a LAPD detective who's been on the job for many years. He left service. He left the LAPD after 9/11 because he re-upped for the military, got deployed to Afghanistan multiple times. He was in special forces, got out, came back, rejoined the LAPD. He's a detective, a homicide detective. He's a badass that doesn't act like a badass. You know what I mean? But he's also one of those actors that can give you a look. Almost like the Bruce Willis sideway eyes look. Mm. He's one of those actors that can give you a look, and it's just
Damian Lewis is another one like that.
Damian Lewis is definitely another one like that, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I'm hook, line, and sinker. I've swallowed the friggin' hook on this show. That's how hooked I am. Yeah.
That can be painful.
I know, it can be. That's why
especially
they make
when
these...
it comes out the other end. Jeez,
well, no,
you better hope that the rounded part
usually
comes
don't
out first.
Usually don't poop it out. You take a device and you. I'll just skip. Anyways, so, but I'm pretty well hooked.
Nice.
Oh, you know what I forgot to watch this week?
What?
Hunters.
Again?
I watched it. We talked about it last week.
Right.
But
that's because the week before you had forgotten to watch it.
Well, I know, but I just completely forgot because I'm so hooked on Bosch. I forgot to
watch it. That's too bad because this was the episode with what's his name there? John. From Fringe.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah.
Why can't I think of his last name?
I can't think of it either right now. So anyway. I can think of it as John Hughes, and it's not John Hughes. No. But yeah, I completely forgot to watch Hunters, so I'll have to watch that.
I watched a new show this week.
What did you watch?
It was a Showtime original. And the thing is, I had been seeing the previews for it, and it was like, yeah, coming up on season two. I was like, oh, shit, I missed season one.
John Noble.
John Noble, thank you. But so I went back and watched all of season one. Now I'm like one episode into season two. It's called Black Monday.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I kind of heard about that.
It's like the Boiler Room with a little bit of dark comedy to it. Don Cheadle and Regina Hall are the main characters. Mm-hmm. But like the guy who joins their firm, who's supposed to be this whiz kid, but he's really an idiot, is he played the dickhead in the last season of How I Met Your Mother. You know, the leader of the band who kind of stole the band from her.
Oh, yeah, yeah, him.
Yeah. And he's engaged to Casey Wilson, who is the heiress to the Georgina Jeans Empire.
Okay.
And so it's like the Boiler Room, you know, you get a lot of stock market stuff. Ken Marino plays the identical twin Lehman Brothers, which is really funny watching him play twins. I liked it. The first season, they're like 23 minutes long each. And there were 10 episodes in the first season, and so far there have been 4 episodes in the second season. It's enjoyable. It's funny, dark and twisted. The opening scene is the Black Monday was a real thing that happened. It was 1987. It was the worst stock market crash day of the entire world.
They actually just talked about that the other day. We had the worst drop in the stock market since Black Monday.
Yeah. So the scene opens with this guy pulls up in front of a building in a Lamborghini limo, which as sure. Somebody says later on, so wait, you don't get the top speed of the Lamborghini or the comfort of the limo? He's like, yeah, but it cost me $500,000. And he's like, all right. So a driver pulls up in it.
It's true.
And gets out, and he's standing there waiting for somebody. And all of a sudden this body comes down and crashes into it.
Sure.
And they zoom in to the tie, and you see this little square emerald on the tie as a tie pin. And then it goes back, and the first season, each of the episodes is a number.
Yeah.
So it'll be like 364, and it's 364 days before Monday.
Yeah.
But you follow the tie pin through the whole thing. Like the guy there from How I Met Your Mother, he has it.
Yeah.
He's given it by his fiance because it was one of her earrings. She's like, use this as a tie
pin. So you don't see the face of the body, you just see the tie pin?
Well, no. So he's wearing it, so you're like, oh, he must have died. Yes, yes.
At the beginning, I mean, yes. You just see the tie pin, not the face, not the body.
Exactly.
Not the okay, that
and,
makes
sense. And then it keeps moving.
I like this now because, yes. You know, they're like, oh, okay, so you know who died already, but no, you don't.
Yeah,
okay.
Because you're like, oh, it must have been him. But then very soon, like, somebody takes it, and then somebody gives it to somebody else, and then you're like, oh, so you're following. It had one of the best
scenes. It's kind of cool.
That I've seen in a while, just for toilet humor. Okay. Paul Scheer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Paul Scheer is in there, and he's sitting there talking to the kid there, and he's like giving him shit. And meanwhile, he's like tossing stuff in his face. And the guy goes, wait a minute, wait. Did you just throw X-Lax in your face and chase it with Epicac? And he's like, yeah, I got to go. And he walks out, and you're like, what the fuck was that? He goes out, and he gets in the car with his family because they're going on a family road trip.
Yeah.
3 kids in the back, wife's driving, and he's like, ah, honey, I'm so excited. Oh, he ate chili as well. He's like, now you're eating chili? What? And he just fucking projectile vomited all over his kids in the back seat. Because of the Epicac. And then shortly thereafter, he's like, no, I think I'll be okay. I think I'll – and then – and he just fucking loaded his pants. So he got the weekend off. They all went on their trip, and he got to stay home with his gay lover. So
that's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it was awesome watching. Did you just eat X-Lax and then chase it with Epicac? Why are you eating chili now? He's like, I gotta go. I got something to do.
I like that. I approve. Yeah. I approve.
It's on Showtime. I dig it. It's fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you see that Stars is offering 6 months for $25?
That's not bad.
That's a really good price.
Yeah, that is. I pay like $9 a month, I think.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, like, oh, people are home.
Hmm. Yeah. A lot of companies seem to be doing that, you know, offering free trials. I know Amazon just put a bunch of audiobooks for free up.
NFL Game Pass, which is usually quite expensive, just offered everyone a free account. Expires at the end of May. Yeah, end of April or end of May. And you didn't have to put billing information in either.
Nice.
Just sign up, username and password.
That's cool.
And you know, obviously there's no new football on, but you have access to old games to watch or their documentary series and all the things like that. And it's like, it's free. What the hell?
Yep.
Because you can watch some old games back when people, like, you know, when the rules were not as stringent and people murdered each other on the field. It was like...
back when being a Raider meant something.
Yeah. It's like yesterday on Fox. Yeah, and I say yesterday, I mean Sunday. They, you know, NASCAR didn't have their race. So Fox had to be announced. And I wish I would have known this was on. My dad told me about it. It like, happened like almost all the way through. So I watched a little bit. But they aired an old Richmond Speedway race from 1986 in the old Winston Cup series.
Wow.
And it's a half-mile track, which is kind of unheard of in NASCAR racing nowadays. Half-mile track, but you had, like, all the greats, like Dale Earnhardt, not Junior, Dale Earnhardt, Richard Petty, you know, Darrell Waldrop, Kyle Petty, you know, blah, blah, blah. And all the cars are different because it was back before they made one universal car. And my dad was like, it's amazing. This is what racing should be, you know, and people are bumping into each other. And it was, like, dirty racing, basically, like nice. Like it was. And so it's like, I like that.
Yeah.
You know, like WWE is presenting their product right now, and they're doing a real shitty job with their no fan, empty arena matches they're doing. Because
it really, kind of, it sounds like from what I've been reading and what I'm hearing from you, like the fans are kind of what make half the spectacle.
In wrestling, you need that audience reaction. You really need that audience participation, or you need some sort of participation. And when I watched WWE, like the first episode they did, SmackDown. With no fans, Triple H was there doing commentary.
Mm-hmm.
And he was hilarious. And he made the show interesting because, like, Asuka came to the ring and interrupted the women's tag match and did something. And he's like, oh, Asuka's sneaking through the crowd. That's why the ref didn't see her. You know, stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Nice.
Or, like, they get to him and he goes, like, all right. He's like, well, that was fun. But I got something I got to do right now. So, and I'm not very good at this commentary thing. So I'm going to turn over to Michael Cole. But then again, for 20 years, people saying, you're terrible at commentary, hey, Michael Cole? All right, see you later, buddy. You know, and he leaves and then shows back up after the next segment. He's like, well, fans are so irate on Twitter that you were out here by yourself. I'm here I am again. You know, like you're just ripping on everyone and everything. And it was funny. It was enjoyable. And then you got to Raw and it just sucked. And then I watched AEW last Wednesday. And they are doing their thing where there's no fans. However, the hard camera's on the ring with the entrance behind it, not 100 empty chairs, you know? Mm-hmm. And then they have the barricade around the ring, and then on each side, they get, like, five bad guys over here and, like, five good guys over here, like, wrestlers mm-hmm. who are yelling and chanting and cheering and being funny and making it entertaining. And then in the ring, everyone is going full-bore awesome wrestling. And it was a phenomenal show. It's probably one of the best shows they've done since they came on the air. And it's like, this is how you do the product with no fans. WWE is just still doing WWE. And my thought process is back in the day, like 1983 to 1993, it's, well, January of 93, so basically 92, they had primetime wrestling. And what everyone remembers the most is you had Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby the Brain Heenan sitting in a studio, just the two of them, at a desk
mm-hmm.
talking about, and then they would turn and look at the monitor in between them as it raised up and they'd show a promo or they'd show a match. And I'm like, that's what they need to do now. Instead of having the wrestlers come down to the ring with their music playing and pyro going off and no fan reaction and then cutting a promo in the ring, have them cut promos in front of like just a backdrop. If they're cutting a promo with no fans, they're talking directly to the camera. Just do that, and then in between, air old classic matches, like matches from previous WrestleManias or something like that. That would at least be entertaining, and now you're watching wrestling matches in front of crowds, at least, you know? That's my suggestion. Whatever. I love wrestling, but boy, it's hard to be a wrestling fan.
Sorry.
Ah! What'd you watch? Anything else besides our regular shows, or?
Well, aside from our regular shows?
Yeah.
Let's look. Lots of Clone Wars.
Oh, you're burning through Clone Wars?
Yeah, I think I'm midway through season two now, which is a big thing because there's 22 episodes per fucking season.
Now, I know they're half an hour, 20 minutes, whatever it is, 23 yeah. minutes. Is it worth watching? Or are you just watching it to say you've watched it?
I'm starting to get into the episodes that I can tie back. Like, I just saw the episode today. They had a story arc that's yeah. been, like, three or four episodes, which deals with Mandalore.
Okay.
And what's going on with the Mandalorian people.
Okay. So, and should I skip ahead then? I've watched a dozen episodes of season one, and it's killing me. Like, not killing me, but it's just, it's not.
Yeah, you should. What you should do is you should read the write ups and go to season two, I believe.
Okay.
But yeah, Jon Favreau was playing the governor who, like the Empress of Mandalore wants peace. She wants to remain neutral. She doesn't want to be part of the conflict. Right. And Jon Favreau is the governor who says, no, we're warriors. And he's kind of working with the Death Squad and the Death Watch.
Yeah.
And they want to go back to their warrior roots. All the warriors were exiled to the moon of Mandalore. And we saw the Black Blade for the first time, the one that shows up in The Mandalorian. He pulled it out and he explained that, you know, it was taken by his ancestors from the Jedi Temple during the Old Republic. And
so the first season was really just blah?
It was. I mean, you get to meet the clones. There's a few things here and there that are kind of good. There's far too much Jar Jar Binks. It really pisses me off.
Yeah. Is the second season still the same, like, Starship Troopers style show, like the first season that is?
you mean where, like, every episode begins with mutiny on the Star Destroyer?
Yeah. Which is fine, but so the story, because I remember reading that, like, you know, people loved the hell out of it just because it was new Star Wars related material. But in hindsight, the first season really wasn't that good.
No.
But then once you start getting into the second season, it really, like, the storytelling gets better. It's like they got a new showrunner who was like, we're not just going to make a shitty kids cartoon anymore. We're going to actually tell some stories.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump to season two then.
Yeah, jump to season two. Read some of the synopses of the first season.
Yeah, I'll read through.
Honestly, you don't, like, I don't need to see every episode of season two. I'm about midway through.
Yeah.
Some of them are good. Some of them are just like, oh my God, can we get to it? A lot of political stuff still because, you know, it is a political war.
Of course it is.
But I think part of the problem is 22 episodes per season. Yeah. I'm burning out quickly because watch them.
But that's like the standard number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But watching that many in a row and sometimes, like I said, there's arcs. You know, you'll get like three or four episodes in a row that pick up where the last one left off.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you'll get thrown into a new story that has nothing to do with anything. And it's a one-off episode.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, fuck me. So it's not the greatest. It really isn't. I'm much more looking forward to Rebels.
Okay.
Which comes after this.
Yeah, I heard Rebels is up quite a bit.
But I had this for news, but I will mention this since we're talking about this. Clone Wars, you've seen Anakin's Padawan, Ahsoka.
Oh, yeah, I was going to bring it up later too, but go.
Yeah, the latest rumor, and it's not just a rumor, but like every news outlet in the same day just like diarrheaed all over the internet that Rosario Dawson has been cast as Ahsoka Tano in The Mandalorian Season 2.
Yeah.
This is huge.
That's huge.
Because she did appear. She's in the seventh season of Clone Wars, which is happening right now on live TV.
Yeah.
But
she was in Rebels.
She was in Rebels. But everybody assumed that she was gone because of Order 66. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever happened to her. And so I'm looking forward to Rebels for that. But also I'm really looking forward to seeing Ahsoka Tano in The Mandalorian. Like, what kind of a role is she going to play? Is she a wise Jedi now? Is she a vengeful, you know, killer? Her time in Rebels, she was a dual lightsaber wielding badass, I believe.
Yes, it was amazing because when you look at her character, how it was first introduced, and it was just like comical sidekick, annoying little brat almost.
Yep, always getting into trouble.
And then by the end of Rebels, and she's like you said, a dual lightsaber wielding badass.
Yep.
That's huge.
Yeah. So now we're going to get Rosario Dawson, a very accomplished actress.
Was Rebels when we see
Kanan?
No. I think you do, but no. Yeah. I'm thinking Darth Maul. Was that the story arc was in Rebels, not in Clone Wars?
No,
right?
It's in Clone
Wars. Oh, it's in Clone Wars,
yes.
Where he returns.
Yep.
Okay. Yes, I'm looking forward to her to seeing that as well, what they do.
Yeah.
Because I want to watch the Clone Wars because I want to be a completionist of Lucas, of Star Wars, you know?
Yeah. And I'm definitely learning more about the characters.
Yeah.
You know, these ancillary Jedi, but also, you know, seeing Obi-Wan and Anakin playing off each other and seeing that Anakin is brash, but he gets the job done. He's really good at what he does. Far too many times that Jedi are chasing people on foot. Yeah. And they're not using the Force to, like, trip them or grab right. them and pull them.
Yeah.
It's a little annoying, but...
Yeah. I wonder if you'll see more of that in Season 7, especially after we've seen now, like, what the Force can do. But then again, that's, I don't know, building of the Force to get there.
Right.
Did you see that... I don't know if this is... I don't know. They're going to change the timeline in Star Wars.
How so?
Everything was... It's you know, like we have BC and AD.
Oh, Battle of Yavin. BY. That's usually what they refer to things as. Like 5 years AY after the Battle of Yavin. Or
they're,
BY.
They're going to change that, allegedly.
Hmm.
To Star Destroyer. When, oh shit, hold on. I see, I forgot to write it down. That's okay. The problem I'm having.
Death Star, maybe?
No, not the Death Star.
I think that they always use Battle of Yavin because that was the first movie that we all got.
Here we go. Disney changes the Star Wars timeline to center on their movies.
Okay.
So it's always been, like right now, The Force Awakens is dated 34 ABY after the Battle of Yavin.
Yep.
And they're going to change it to... Because, you know, you have to read through all the fucking garbage. Oh, yeah, before Starkiller Incident and after Starkiller Incident.
What?
Yeah.
No, I don't like
that. The Force Awakens is referred to as the Starkiller Incident.
Okay.
Yeah.
So...
Meaning the calendar divides around BSI and ASI, so the movies are dated like this. So now, Star Wars Episode One: The Phantom Menace is 66 BSI. Attack of the Clones, 56 BSI. Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, is 53 BSI. Solo is 44. Rogue One is 34. Empire Strikes Back is 31. Return of the Jedi is 30. Star Wars The Force Awakens and Star Wars The Last Jedi is 0. And then Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker is 1 ASI.
I personally think this is a lot of BSI.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how official that is, but that's so. This is on Screen Rant. So,
well, until I see the official, you know, charts and everything changed,
yeah,
I'm going to keep going with ABY and so ABY.
I watched a Netflix comedy special.
Which one?
Burt Kreischer?
The guy with no shirt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one's called Hey Big Boy. It's about an hour.
How is it?
I laughed a lot.
Really?
Yeah. I laughed a tremendous amount.
Nice.
I really needed it too. I was having a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, no,
Does he do the whole show with no shirt on?
He comes out with his shirt on and immediately rips it off and throws it. And then does the whole show with no shirt on. Yeah.
Nice.
There was some, he started making like, I bought a gun, and then people, if you're for guns, you're going to fucking hate this story. If you're against guns, you're going to fucking hate this story. But he just, it was good. There was a lot of hilarity in the show. Yeah.
I keep seeing it show up on my thing.
Well, that's the thing, is it popped up on my thing and it did one of those previews it does, and it did a joke and I fucking laughed so hard. I was like, I guess I'm going to watch this now.
It's nice when you can find something like that.
Yeah. So keep looking over there like my kid came downstairs.
No, just, you've got the TV.
Oh, but it's muted. Me. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I heard a new phrase on Breeders this week.
Oh, yeah, what?
Postnatal depression.
Yeah, sure.
So it's not, what do we have, postpartum depression?
Yeah.
For them, it's postnatal.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah. It was a markedly different episode. This one was a bit more serious in tone.
Lived through it.
Yeah. So, still a good show, but it was definitely, this was not the Breeders I've been used to.
It was, yeah, they yeah. Well, you got to get serious sometimes, I guess.
Hunters was good, but, you know.
Next week, I promise. Sorry.
It actually, this one involved a heist, and I think you'll like it.
Nice.
Yep.
Speaking of a heist, Blacklist was back. Did you watch it?
I did.
ho-hum episode, right?
A ho-hum episode.
Yeah.
Really weird situation that Aram's in.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially the final scene where he's laying in bed with the woman and the respirator's right over next to them. So, like, the husband's just, like, right there.
Yeah, that's creepy.
Yeah.
No, I mean, usually when, I mean, Blacklist has not been back for 3 months. Mm-hmm. Huge hiatus. And usually they come back with a bang, and they didn't. It came back with, essentially, there's this kid. This guy's son got hooked on pain meds that this pharmaceutical company made that this family owns. And so he was taking him to court, but he couldn't afford it because they're spending all kinds of money on their legal team and he can't afford to take him to court. And so the daughter of the family, who is apparently a genius art
forger,
thank you, decides she's going to help him and is doing it by stealing her own family's art, replacing it with forgeries, and then selling them on the black market to give him the money to raise funds for his defense team. Mm-hmm. On the other side of the course, Red has this, you know, like the Russian dolls where you go one inside the other. Apparently he has some Turkish casket, but his is a fake.
And when I think casket, I think dead body.
Yeah, yeah. No,
this is like a jewelry box.
Yeah, basically. And so someone, there's a buyer for like the whole lot of them, but his is a fake. And so he tracks down, of course, he gets the team to track down this art forger where she says, oh, that's the only one I faked. The real one's here. And of course he goes and acquires it. But it wasn't a really good episode.
I thought that was going to be like a longer progression, like yeah. He was gonna have to look for all six of them, but it turns out that five people have the other five, and nope, those are all real. This is the only fake one. Yeah. You just happen to get it.
And of course it all comes together for Red nice and easy.
Yep.
It was hum. Speaking of ho hum, this is us.
Ooh. Yeah. And this is just what we talked about last week saying we didn't want. And instead, we got it. We got it full in the face, ball slapping and everything.
And then I watch it on Hulu with no commercials. So I messaged John. I said, you can skip the first 30 minutes of this episode because it's literally like you have the first 15 minutes is, or even 20 minutes is, it's all Randall talking to his therapist. And the first 20 minutes is basically like his picture perfect rose colored glasses. What world would be like if dad lived because dad didn't go back in the house. Mm-hmm. You know, the dog got saved by the fireman. Everyone was happy and great in life.
Mom came clean and he got to meet his biological dad earlier and had
him cleaned up and got him off drugs. And
so the one thing that I did appreciate out of all this was the therapist who is like, yeah, you want to just go play some Connect Four?
Yeah, I got Connect Four and Scrabble behind you. You want to do those? You want to stop playing games?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we got Randall's worst case scenario if dad survived.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a bunch of garbage. And then like the last.
Which was basically that dad never forgave mom.
Yeah.
And they went back to drinking.
Yeah.
And
just.
And he never got to meet William, and William died without him really knowing. Or he met him, but William was like, fuck off. And
yeah. And no. And then like finally he gets William's stuff, like poems for my son and some letters, and he just dumps them in the trash can.
Yeah. Because now he's a player with two diamond earrings.
And he's not married to Beth. And
no, because women aren't serious to him. He sleeps with all of his teaching assistants.
And Kevin wasn't an actor because his dad's big three, like, construction company took off and Kevin's working there.
Now, I would have really liked to have seen Kevin in, like, a pot-bellied outfit, you know, working with dad. He was way too pretty to be a construction worker.
And incidentally, in both Randall's perfect world and shit world, Kate was still Kate. Kate was still a big woman.
And a big woman.
Even in his perfect world, Kate was a big woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a dick.
Just shows that he didn't really care about her then.
And then the last like 15 minutes of the episode or 10 minutes of the episode is him finally like confronting. Like that's where it's like, okay, this is the storyline we need to pay attention to.
But he did this in the dumbest way possible. Basically, the therapist said to him, look, you've never confronted your mom about how she fucked you over by keeping that all these years. That seems to be the root cause in both of these stories.
Yeah.
You've never confronted her, which, first off, yes, he did. He was a fucking dick to her in the first season when he found out, and he wouldn't talk to her, and he gave her the cold shoulder, and pitched a little fit. He was a bitch.
Yeah.
So he decides, you're right, I've never confronted her. So what I'll do is I'll use that as leverage.
Yeah.
And he calls her up.
I'm a good son.
I've never asked you for anything, ever. Not a single thing, ever.
I've taken care of you since Dad died.
And so he tells her, I'm asking this, and you're going to do it. You're going to go to that trial, because now he's going to save someone.
Yeah, I couldn't save Dad. I couldn't save William, but I can save you, Mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that this could be why him and Kevin and Kate aren't talking.
Right, because their mom loses her memory and they've lost all the last moments they could have had with her.
Well, not only that, but he went behind their back and forced her into this.
Right. Yeah.
And they're going to be like,
Randall style. Himself.
Yep.
So the next episode is called Strangers Part 2, which the first episode of the season was called Strangers. Mm-hmm. So we're finally get to see those characters again.
Yeah.
So
and it's the finale.
And is it really episode 18?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, it is.
Season finale.
Oh, yeah. Seasons 4, 5, and 6 are 18 episodes each.
Yep.
Okay. But you know what, though? I'm okay with that.
Oh, I am, too.
I'd like to see the show end.
Yeah.
Learn seeing these characters again, because it's been real Randall heavy.
Yes.
I need a Randall break.
Yeah. Yeah. I miss Malik, and I miss, what's her name there?
I know who you're talking about.
War veteran.
And Uncle.
And Jack.
Uncle Nicky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And let's see what's up with baby Jack when he's grown up.
So. Randall can just fuck right off.
I did watch the first episode of season 2 of Altered Carbon finally.
Oh, how was it?
It's great.
Is it?
I really like
it. I gotta watch it.
And they gave you a nice recap, and I was like, oh yeah, because I had forgotten about Stacks.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, And they do a good job of explaining why it's now Anthony Mackie as Takeshi Kovac.
Well, because he got a new stack. Yeah.
It's good. I miss this show. He's got Poe with him now. You know, the AI
that
got flushed. So he's got him with him. And it's working out really good. So, yeah, I like it.
Did you watch Lock and Key?
Yes.
Finish it?
I did.
And?
Well, here's the thing, okay? I got to get this off my chest.
Sure.
They backloaded the story. You know how sometimes you get these shows that front load and they put everything on you?
Yes.
This one, they saved all of it till the very end. So here's what you missed by skipping the last, what, two episodes?
I guess. Two or three.
Dodge, the femme fatale from the well.
Yeah.
You know, the villain.
The one that wants the keys.
Yep. She's actually a teenage boy. She was one of the kids when the Locke father was a teenage guy and some of his friends died. Yeah, they didn't drown in the cave. So this kid was one of their friends. You know the neighbor lady who her son is kind of a little bit touched? And she was one of them too.
Yes, I knew that.
Yeah, this was her boyfriend.
Okay.
And they went and they opened up the black door down in the caves, and these bullets of light shot out, and one of them hit him in the arm, and so he became possessed by something. And so he killed some of the other kids, threw them up against the wall, snapped their necks, because he wanted the keys. Give me the keys. I need the keys. And they finally managed to knock him out, and they threw him down in the well to lock him down there. I think they killed him. Yeah, because they split up the keys, and the woman there kept the head key and something else, the echo key.
Sure.
And basically, this was an echo of him. So, so he came back, and then he used the key that you could stick up your chin and change your gender and your whole appearance to turn into Dodge, the woman.
Yeah.
Because Dodge used to be his nickname back when he was a teenage boy. But then he would look like the teenage boy when he was hanging around at her house. Again, we don't even meet this guy until the end of the seventh episode or something like that. And suddenly it's like, oh, yeah, he's been hanging out at the house all this time because, you know, And she knew, so she's been helping him. So we got to see all these neat flashbacks of how she's fucked these people over multiple times trying to help him out. And, yeah, it just – it's one of those where, like, the Bone Collector.
Yeah.
Okay, the movie.
Yeah.
I hated the Bone Collector, the movie. I wasn't a fan of the TV show, but I hated it because the villain turned out to be the nurse.
Yeah.
But there was no way you could have known it. There was there was no hints. There was no evil side eye. He was just like a background character in one of the scenes where he was changing an IV bag.
Yep.
Nothing to do with him. Nobody ever figured it out until the very end. And then it was like, I'm clever. I figured that out. Well, the audience could have figured it out if you'd given us some clues. But instead, you just hid it from us and said, oh, by the way, it was him all the time.
Yeah.
That's what I didn't like about this. Like, they suddenly like, oh, by the way, this beautiful woman that you've been seeing running around fucking with people, it's actually the ghost of a teenage boy. Ha, 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 ha. That you wish you were clever like us. Well, no, that's not clever. You were just withholding information from us.
Glad I didn't watch it, I guess.
Yeah. So all the Scooby gang, the new teen Scooby gang, decides to get together, open up the black door, throw him in. Except, wait, it wasn't really him. Because we have to watch like 10 minutes worth of flashbacks showing us what really happened. And Dodge used the key on his girlfriend, you know, the woman, and made her look like Dodge, knocked her out.
Yeah.
And then the kids were like, look, it's Dodge. Let's throw her in the black door. And then some of the bullets got out and hit two of the other kids. And so now I'm not going to watch it when it comes back.
So October Faction.
October Faction.
Alice.
Phenomenal episode.
It was a fantastic episode. However, it was like the second you see her and she's pregnant, oh, those are her kids.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
Even before that for me, when he was like, oh, you're going to be a mom someday pretty soon. And I'm like,
oh, those are her kids then. That's
makes
how
sense, because he's a very black man. She's a very white woman. You know,
exactly. Okay.
Great episode.
It was a good episode. We get the backstory of her, Harlow House, her whole warlock tribe, if you will, and everything else, and how the Presidio just came in and killed everyone to kill everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they were warlocks.
Because they're different.
They needed to die.
There's a whole lot of, like, Hitler and the Jews going on in here. You know what I mean? Like, where Hitler was like, Jews have to die because they're different. Or any other type of thing where one group feels the other group has to die because they're different.
Yep. Which is pretty much all wars.
Yeah, basically. But I mean, like,
Civil War.
But, like, eradicated. Not just, like, oh, but, like, eradicated. Like a genocide. You know what I mean?
Fair enough. Yep.
Yeah.
One thing that I really didn't like in this episode was how easily she was moving about the village while they were getting raided and shot in the head.
Yeah, I had a problem with that too.
She's literally following behind them and just like
crawling and falling down, and then she gets a gun and shoots one of them, and like no one turns and shoots her. And yeah, I had an issue with that as well. And then she gives birth to twins in her house. No one's coming in her house while she's popping kids out. Like, I had a lot of issues with that as well. Yeah.
So this is a very interesting twist, and it makes me wonder, like, did mom and dad tell people that these were warlock kids?
No. I think that's why they fought so hard to keep Priscilla away from them and not let them in the group, and I think that's why.
Because they would have had them killed.
Yes. They wouldn't have, they didn't want the kids to be on their side and working for them. They were going to kill them.
What I'm really hoping is that by the end of this season, we're going to see mom and dad want to move away from Presidio.
Oh, I think that's happening already.
And work with Alice and maybe some of these other monsters that they've discovered are good.
I think we got that in the episode, Nadir, Open Your Eyes or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Where they went and they went to the – it's supposed to be R&D, but it's a prison.
Right.
So I think the parents have opened their eyes a lot. I think Presidio's showing up at their house and not telling them they're coming and to take their kids and – mom getting stabbed and all the other thing. And, you know, and of course now mom knows dad's alive.
I will say this was a great, like, you see this kind of story in multiple different places, sure. You know, where it's like, oh, these aren't really your kids.
Right.
But this was one of the best handlings of it I've ever seen.
So. Yeah, I think so.
It was really well done because I didn't see it coming until, of course, this episode happened. And then I'm like, oh, this is why.
Right. And then we got a good story. It's not like I said, oh, this is fucking garbage. Right. I know what. We got a good story.
You got a really, really good story. Alice.
Yes.
The Presidio agent who mind fucked her.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Kudos to her for being a heartless bitch.
Yeah. But two episodes left.
Yep.
I think we should just watch both of them.
Might as well.
And talk about it next week. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you know it's going to be like a build up and then a crescendo.
Oh, big time. Yeah.
Plus, you know, we've got the fucking time.
Yeah. Well, actually, it's a little bit harder for me to watch stuff with the wife being home, working from home as well.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
You have that issue.
But I'll have time.
Yeah.
I'll make time.
Did you watch Stumptown?
I did.
They had some cool camera work in this one. We got to see when Dex met Benny and some of their early interactions with each other, like watching the football guy who got pissed because Ansel was playing and, you know.
And how Benny handled that.
Yeah.
Way better than Dex could have.
And it was really cool because when we had their interactions with each other, it was like first person.
Yep.
Like Benny was talking to the camera as if he was talking to Dex. And then when you flip it around and you'd see Dex talking, it was like from his point of view.
Yeah.
He really did good camera work there. I like that. But this was Dex found out that this, you know, she got in contact with the major who knew that Benny was dirty. Benny was, you know,
yes.
There was a lot of money that went missing, and he knows that Benny was involved. He was being investigated, but he can't tell her anymore. So Dex can't let it go and breaks into his office and steals files, which is
Dex, but yeah. Well, and this is his hotel room.
Yeah.
And she can't get into the files, but she plants a bug. Mm-hmm. And then he says the file numbers. Now she knows.
Yep. Because he's like, yeah, nothing was taken. Okay, good. Yeah. And so we basically deal with that, with her. She goes and talks to one of Benny's old friends who, you know, acts real shady and dicey and, you know, had some money come into his lap. But then by the end of the episode, he's dead. So he wasn't the bad guy. He was another pawn.
Yeah. He was trying to whistleblow.
Yes.
Yeah. So of course this can put Dex in even more in this.
Yep. Meanwhile, we've got Gray, whose dad wants to come visit.
No shows him like a son of a bitch.
Yep. And a really, like, it was dark, but the detective there, the lieutenant, was going undercover with that woman friend of his to this club full of swingers that were basically, you know, unicorn hunting.
Yeah.
And he sees what's his name's wife?
Yeah, the taco truck guy's wife. Yeah. I can't think of his name.
Yeah, I can't think of it either. But yeah, sees his wife. And like at first he doesn't tell him and he kind of asks him. He's like, hey, you know, you and your wife doing okay? Everything good? Can you give me some advice? And then I like how at the end the guy's like, so when you were asking me that, you'd seen her. And he's like, yeah. And he's like, and you didn't tell me. And he's like, well, I just didn't want to get involved. And he's like, yeah, we're not friends.
Yeah, the cop comes back with like, well, no, we weren't friends. I could have easily told you, basically.
Yeah.
He's like, it's because we are friends. Like, I just couldn't bring myself to say anything.
Right.
It was too hard.
Yep. So hopefully they mend those fences, but
I think they will.
Yeah.
I don't think Tukey and his wife will.
No.
They're done.
No, they're done.
If he's smart, they're done.
Because
no one stays with him. No one should stay. If your partner cheats on you and you stay with them, then you're a fucking chump and you deserve to be a fucking
especially
chump.
Especially where she was blaming it all on him. She's like, you've been so obsessed with the taco truck.
And you've been working so hard.
I got lonely and this just happened and it won't happen again.
Bullshit.
It's not his fault.
It didn't just happen. Right. She just happened to go to a bar and got hit on. So I'm going to fuck this guy.
Yeah.
And then went to another bar. I'm like, I'm going to fuck this guy now. And then went to the bar. I'm like, I'm going to fuck this guy. Like, that's
tripped and fell on a dick.
My 8th grade social studies teacher used to say that. When someone goes, oh, I didn't mean to. Well, I didn't mean to sleep with your wife. I just slipped and fell in her. No, it doesn't work that way. And now looking back, I'm thinking, he probably got cheated on.
Probably. Yeah, he was probably venting that to all of you at the time.
Those eighth graders.
Yeah.
Yeah, those yeah. 12 and 13-year-olds.
Not really the best thing for an eighth grade teacher to do, but whatever.
Legends?
Yeah, let's do the DCs.
Well, I'm only going to do Legends. It's the only one I watched.
You didn't watch Flash?
I tried and I went, nah.
Okay.
Romeo and Juliet, Dawn of Justice.
Romeo v. Juliet.
Sorry, Romeo v. Juliet, Dawn of Justice.
Tell us about this episode.
Well, they're in Shakespeare's time looking for like the first piece of Loom of Fate. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the legend's rung into Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. And then...
because he's holding it.
Right. And then a bar fight later. Now, William Shakespeare wants to write Romeo and Juliet as superheroes.
Yeah.
And messes it up. And then they forget to erase his memory. And
no, they tried.
Yeah,
but they held it backwards because they were kind of drunk.
Yeah, and so they don't erase his memory.
They erase their own.
And then when they get to the future, they realize they fucked everything up. And Sarah, surprisingly, is the one's like, "No, we need to fix this."
Yeah.
So they go back in time, and of course, like all the actors quit or some shit like that happens. So now the legends have to act out Romeo and Juliet,
mm-hmm.
and they do it the right way and restore history.
Yeah,
it was funny. I enjoyed it.
The main thing that was going on here was this was Ray's last mission because him and Nora were going to move on.
Yeah.
And this was even more heartbreaking knowing that, you know, Brandon Routh went on – him and Courtney Ford went on social media and were like, look, we didn't want to leave. We
were
forced out. This is our family. You know,
that sucks.
They doubled down on it this past week and they were like, this was not what we had planned and blah, blah, blah. So it made it even harder to watch them walking away.
Yeah, it did. It did.
But it was, you know, he told everybody and they were all happy for him. I can't believe that the Wave Rider with all those people on it has one bathroom.
Yeah, that is funny.
That makes no sense.
Makes no sense.
But he told everybody, but he couldn't tell Nate because, you know, Nate was gonna, that's his bro.
Yeah. And, yeah. They're bros.
So when Nate does finally find out, he's bummed, but not bummed that he's leaving. He's more bummed that if you had told me earlier, we could have made today awesome, but instead it sucked and, you know, we didn't have an awesome going out bro party type thing. So it was sad.
It was.
Still a solid episode.
Oh, absolutely it was.
So I'll do my quick rundown. Batwoman.
Oh, wait, wasn't there something with Constantine in this?
Oh, yeah. Astra is able to view him remotely.
Yeah.
Because the old woman's like, well, don't you want to know what he's up to? How he's going to fix your fate? And, she sees that he's going after the Loom of Fate, and then he dispatches her. But the old woman's like, oh, Loom of Fate? We should go after it instead of just him.
That's right.
Yeah. So Batwoman, off of their head. Turns out that the guy who was holding Beth all these years, the psychopath who, you know, Norman Bates, Hannibal Lecter kind.
Yeah.
He had found Mom's corpse and cut her head off and kept it in a fridge out in the garage.
That's creepy.
Yeah, because his mother wanted a new face and wanted a new life, so he was going to try to mold a face after. Yeah. Supergirl.
Do you think that they'll change their mind about a second season for Batwoman?
I don't know.
Because I know it was renewed, but they could always say, we changed our minds.
Yeah, they're really limping right now as far as I'm concerned, trying to...
It looked so good in the crossover last year.
Yep.
And she looks great in the crossover this year. But, man, I just...
There are some good parts, but they're few and far between. And the fact that it's constantly her and Alice, it just really detracts.
They're beating that to death.
They really are. They need to get some different villains and let them have center stage, not just be one-offs. Supergirl tanked it this week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. They're testing out the VR contacts, and some guy, his wife was cheating on him, so he found the lover and locked him in VR and makes him blow up constantly.
It's funny.
Come back to life. But the reason that they tanked it was because they had to go into the fact that Dreamer is a transgender person.
Yeah.
And her roommate is also transgender. And so her roommate got a date on an app and met up with the guy, was waiting for him to show up, went outside, you know, because he sent her a message, come meet me outside. And it turned out that it was this white guy who was like, people like you don't belong and Dreamer doesn't belong. And so he cut her up. And she's alive. But, right. You know, basically calling out Dreamer because, you know, you're trans and you're not supposed to be here. And, you know, you don't stand for truth and honesty and trans people are terrible. Noble message, but it was just kind of shoehorned in to Supergirl.
Yeah.
So I don't think that they did a good job with it.
Yeah.
Flash. Thawne was kind of basically Nash Wells has all of the other Harrison Wells's in his brain, and because of the collapsing of the universes and because he was pariah.
Yeah.
And Thawne is trying to fight his way out and take over to be the Reverse Flash. But as they pointed out, they're like, but he wasn't really a Wells, you know.
It's true.
Took over as Wells, but he was Thawne, and so that's why he didn't have as big of a hold, but almost got out, didn't get out, the end.
Okay.
But Barry is hell-bent on figuring out how to create his own Speed Force, because Thawne created his own Speed Force, so why can't Barry create his own Speed Force? And we got another meta that works with Light, whose name is Sunshine, because, you know, she can harness the power of the sun and cut lasers and stuff. And
Cisco didn't work too hard on that name.
No, she gave it to herself. She's like, call me Sunshine.
Oh, that makes sense.
But yeah, they finally stopped her in the end because, you know, Barry only has limited use of his speed now. He's got, it's like, you know, a bottle of water, and every time you take a drink, you know, there's less water in the bottle. So he's only got so much Speed Force left in him before he's no longer the Flash.
Oh.
So he had to, you know, be the superhero that he was. Oh, Mirror Lady captured another member of Iris's team and created another duplicate of her. So to get her hands on another piece of tech to hopefully help her escape and dominate the world.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's the DC shows.
Well, Flash isn't back until April.
Yeah.
Are they all not back till April?
No, I think Supergirl and Batwoman were on last night.
Yes, they were, actually. Yeah, I did see that in the lineup. I wonder why Flash is on this hiatus.
I don't know. What about Legends? Is that on hiatus?
I hadn't noticed. Let's look.
Okay. I'm almost done with Picard. There's the final
episode. Yeah, it is. Legends doesn't come back till April 7th.
Okay. Which, honestly, dude, that's like 2 weeks.
Yeah. Picard.
Yeah, I watched the 8th episode.
Something I should be watching.
The 9th episode is available now. The 10th episode comes out on Thursday, and that's it.
Yeah.
But the 9th episode is titled, you know, Part 1. So I was like, no,
fuck that.
I really want you to watch this so that we can talk about it. This was a tense episode.
Okay, maybe I got a couple episodes left to finish Bosch Season 2.
Mm-hmm.
So probably I'll finish that up, and then I'll switch over to Picard.
One thing that I really like about this that I'll say is Rios, the pilot.
Yeah.
When he got his ship, it came with 5 different hologram programs. You know, there's a navigator, there's an entertainment, there's a doctor, you know, like from Voyager. They're all him. They talked about it in the 8th episode. He opted to have it scan him, and he just never changed it back. But each one of them has a different accent.
Oh, that's
so there's
fun.
Like a very Scottish one, a very Spanish one. It's great.
So recently, all the television channels had to switch their frequencies around to make room for 5G.
Mm, yep.
And so, like, for instance, Fox or CW51, used to be Fox 51,
mm-hmm.
Took over 56 back in 1987, 86. Anyways, doesn't matter. It's weird because it's CW51. I'll give you Channel 6 is a virtual channel. Their actual channel is 44.
Okay.
It's weird how it works. It doesn't actually broadcast on frequency for Channel 6 when you turn it on your dial. It broadcasts over here, and then they have it appear virtually. It doesn't matter. So 51 switched to 34, and now all of a sudden I get that channel on my antenna. I didn't get it before, but they with the new antenna they did and the new frequency, all of a sudden now I can grab it, which is cool. It doesn't come in all the time, but usually every night, Sunday through Saturday at 8 o'clock is Star Trek, the original series. 9 o'clock is the Next Generation. 10 o'clock is Deep Space Nine. 11 o'clock is Voyager, and midnight is Enterprise.
Nice.
That's really cool.
That is. Episode 8, they were headed to Deep Space 12.
Fuck, that's awesome.
It is.
Did you watch anything else?
Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know what? I did watch that today. I forgot, but I did watch that one today.
Still a solid show.
It is. Kate was saying today one of the reasons why she doesn't think she likes it is because the people singing sound like shit. And I said one of the reasons why I like it is because the people singing are normal people.
Exactly. And like Lauren Graham, every time she gets up there and sings, I'm like, oh, God, this is painful. I'm so glad she's doing this because it sounds awful, and I appreciate that.
It's like when the barista there was singing You Give Love a Bad Name.
Yes.
It wasn't great.
No.
But it was – I like it because it makes it good.
Yeah. Well, dude, Lauren Graham doing TikTok.
Yes.
Holy God. I was cringing.
I was watching it. So, like, working from home, my day ends at 4 o'clock. And Kate's ends at 5. Mm-hmm. So I was watching it while she was working. And she's fine. And so she's at the desk and everything, which is in the next room, but it's an open room. And she finally just goes, who is singing that? It is terrible. I go, Lorelai Gilmore. And she's like, oh, I should have just, oh, okay. All right.
So I'm glad that we learned right in the very beginning that Zoe sent him away.
Yes.
Because that was the cliffhanger from the last one.
Yes.
Told him to go. She's torn up about it because he showed up at her house late at night, even though it was innocent. But she could sense that, of course, she knew that he was saying, you know, should I come in or should I
stay or should I go?
Yeah. So she's a little bit torn up about it, trying to talk to different people about it. Everyone gives her different advice. She decides she's not going to go to their engagement party.
It'd be too awkward.
Yeah. And then ends up going there because, you know, her boss wants to get drunk and then goes, let's go to the party. And okay. So they go to the party and she gets drunk too. And then kind of tells her mom everything that happened. Look, this is what's weighing on my mind. This is what's happened. It's really been rough, blah, blah, blah. Does it right underneath an open window where the fiance is listening.
Of course.
She has a nice version of Say My Name. Which was kind of cool.
Yes.
You know? So we got a little shenanigans there where the wall of roses got burned down.
Funny, but not funny, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. On the one hand, I was like, oh, this is overdone. But, you know, they did a good job of it. So, okay. And then the guy, her friend there from the office.
Yeah.
Sings her the, you know, Proclaimers, I Would Walk 500 Miles.
I liked it earlier in the episode where she is going to go out with the boss and she's next door talking to her neighbor. And he's like, oh, you finally bought a new dress. Well, I'm not going, I'm doing this. Oh, let me help you accessorize. And then he walks out and she's like, oh, I'm staring at your nipples. What? I don't think I've ever seen you without a shirt on. Are you jacked? He's like, I've been playing around. I can't remember the word he used, but he's like, I've been, you know, messing around my muscularity. And he, you know, makes a muscle or whatever. And I love how like distracted she was.
Yeah.
And then she leaves and it's just him and he goes, this is kind of fun. And she goes, yes, it is.
The characters in this are pretty real.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, and dad's friend comes to visit.
Yes. Yeah.
Babysits him for the night and then he falls down the stairs.
Yeah.
He falls when he's trying to take him upstairs and he feels really bad about it. And like Zoe says, you know, the doctor says it's a miracle this hasn't happened by now all the times that we take him up and down the stairs.
Yeah.
Which
I was really surprised when I saw them hang from the stairs. Like, well, he doesn't sleep downstairs?
Right.
This seems dangerous.
Right. But, you know, mom's now kicking herself. I should have gone out. Yeah. Why did I go out to a party? I shouldn't have done that. I should have been here for him. So, yeah. Still a good show.
It is a good show.
I really enjoy it.
As do I.
Other than that, like, the only other show that I have listed here, well, two of them, Westworld.
Yep.
Which I figured we're saving till the end.
Ouch. Yep.
And McMillions.
So we're going to talk about the episode one of Westworld.
Episode two just aired last night.
Yes, even though episode two aired last night, we're not going to talk about that. We're going to try and stay behind, so that way people should be caught up.
Right.
Do you want to talk about that first or McMillions? Let's just talk about McMillions, I guess.
Okay.
McMillions was a 6-part documentary series on HBO about the McDonald's Monopoly game from 1989 to 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch all six episodes?
I did.
Okay, I did too.
I had only watched four of them, and then you said you were finishing it up, and I'm like, okay, I'll finish it up to make sure I'm a...
So, Kate, I put it on. I was, my wife loves true crime podcasts.
Her and, like, 90% of the country.
Right, but, like, she especially likes the Dateline ones, mm-hmm. because they are one up, one and done. But she gets hooked on the multiple arc ones as well, multiple episode ones. And so I was like, this is like a true crime podcast, but it's not a murder, and it's interesting. So I think for me, what made this is all the humor they interjected in it.
Yeah.
First of all, that one FBI detective, that Donald Matthews there, or Doug Matthews, whatever, funny as shit. And he had no problem swearing.
Oh, no.
Oh, I loved it. Or like, because he's, I don't know, he was just funny. Mm-hmm. He had some great lines.
Yeah.
And it's like, and
I sure as shit wasn't going down there and do that.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, I loved it when they – because they would talk to him. They would talk to people now in 2019 when they filmed this, or mm-hmm. 2018. And then they'd go back to 2001, and they'd show you, like, you know, actors reenacting scenes, okay? Yeah. And it would be hilarious because they would show, like, him back then. And he was – and then, like, the recreation scenes – he was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where he shows up in the meeting in the gold suit looking like a French fry, the first thing they have at McDonald's, because he thinks it's a bunch of bullshit. And, or like, when he's keeps suggesting undercover, undercover. So he's like, I should go undercover for this. And they're like, no, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. And then I was like, I guess we will. And it cuts to the reenactment scene, and he's in there like, yeah, pumping his arms in the air. And, or like, he's talking, and he's like, ah, I just sat there. Like, we walk in, he goes, my favorite thing about going to McDonald's headquarters, their coffee was fantastic. So in the reenactment scene, his character's drinking coffee the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, with a, out of a mug. I mean, I just thought the way they did it was hilarious.
Or like at the end when they were talking about who sent the fax to the reporters.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And he's just like, sure, shit wasn't me. What the hell? I know how to use a fax machine.
I don't use speed dials for a reason. That's it's right. Like, we're not going to say who did it, but when Special Agent Matthews, I mean the person, yeah. You know, like. I just thought it was hilarious.
Yes.
And then how everything linked together.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the Columbo mob family's involved at one point. And then when we find out who the rat was, who the informant was, that started all this. And then, you know, that guy dies. And so now we have these other people involved. And then this guy gets suckered in and he's lied to. And the DA's just like, he said he won the ticket, and he didn't win the ticket, but he didn't know that it was stolen in this whole scam because the person, his middleman, lied to him blatantly.
Right.
About he told him, like, oh, no, this buddy, you know, he's separated from his wife. They're getting divorced. He won this thing, but he doesn't want to cash it in because then she'll get half, and he's like, fuck her. And he's like, I went through a rough divorce once. So he pays $100,000 for it and then turns it in himself, and then all this stuff happens, and it's just – it's all crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's all crazy.
Well, did you feel like I did that after the first episode?
Yeah.
Like, that could have been it. Like, the first episode kind of summed up the entire thing.
I thought so.
Initially. And yeah. I'm like, how are they going to get five more episodes? And then it suddenly went into, oh, and this was organized crime, and this is charity.
It went deeper, and we found this out, and it's just like, holy cow.
Yeah.
You know, and then it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then when they finally reveal how we did it, it's almost maddeningly simple.
Yeah. Yeah. That he accidentally got the stickers sent to him that sealed the envelopes.
Yeah.
And he's just the reenactment. He's like, huh.
Yeah. And then it was just crazy. Mm-hmm. Like the and then how like McDonald's had nothing like it's their promotion and they hire a marketing company to run it for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then this marketing company, their head of security is this guy. And his ex-wife is the head of security of the other company that prints everything.
Yeah.
But she had nothing to do with it.
Well, it was a lot of people just, who were like, how did we not? The reporters the reporter, at the end, they're like, how did we not see this?
How did we not notice that every winner, it comes from the 208 area code?
Yeah.
You know, like, which is, like, how did we not notice this? Like, all these winners come from the same area.
And then,
so essentially from 1989 to 2001, every big winner of Monopoly, whether it be a car or $1 million or $100,000, every big winner was all it was all rigged.
Yep.
The public itself never had a chance to win any of these prizes because all those tickets and coupons, whatever you want to call them, were stolen beforehand.
Yep.
And then the guy that stole them would sell them and give them out to people.
Yep.
You know, like a $1 million prize, he'd sell for $100,000.
Right.
I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. And then how his the first person he gave one to, his stepbrother, is like best friends with the DA.
Right.
I thought that was hilarious too, because like, you know, they I think the thing that, you know, really the best thing that came out of all this is that we're friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The and then what really got them was they set up the whole sting. They were going to take everybody down at once. Yeah. They were like, we want to make sure that nobody knows about it. And they had a whole plan written out specifically. This is what we're going to do. These are the people that we're going to go after. These are the times that we're going to get them.
This is the whole backstory so you can understand the case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they faxed it to not the Greenfield field office, but the Greenfield newspaper.
Yeah.
And the newspaper was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
I don't know if we can run. I want to run this story.
But this seems wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not saying we bribed him, but we did promise him an exclusive story and maybe some pictures of us making arrests that no one else would have.
But they got all these people rounded up and they were all excited. And then 9/11 happened.
Yes. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Like, because Kay and I are sitting like, how did we not hear about this? How did we not hear about this? And it's because it all happened like 2 weeks before 9/11. And then when 9/11 hit, 10th page article.
Yeah. Yeah. Who cares about the McDonald's scam at that point?
That was kind of like, cause it's like, how did we not hear about this? Cause I thought if I mean, this is only, you know, 2001 that this happened apparently. So it's like, you would think you and I would remember this
because
remember stupid shit like that. Right. But 9/11 buried it all.
And the interesting part for me too,
excuse me,
beyond all that was the court case, because like they said, they basically had to make a case that they broke rules of a game and that was breaking the law. And they were like, this is a game.
This is a game.
They broke the rules. Who cares? This is not the law. So they had to get them on mail fraud.
Mail fraud, yeah. Well, you know? Committed mail fraud because they mailed something through the mail.
Yeah. Which, in this day and age, they couldn't have gotten them on that because who uses the mail anymore?
Right. And then everything would have been done online.
Yeah.
And then the mastermind, the guy, you know, Uncle Jerry, the guy that stole all these things for 12 years and da-da-da-da-da, got 37 months.
Yeah.
Granted, he had to pay $12 million in restitution. But at like $370 a month, he'll never pay that off.
Right.
But yeah.
And that's what they said. They were like, he'll never, he's not worth that.
No, he'll never pay that off.
Yeah.
But okay, he got 37 months.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Because again, what did they get him on? Mail fraud. Yeah.
And then you look at the ripple effect of all this. You know, the marketing company, who really had nothing to do with it, closed, went out of business, everybody lost their jobs.
Real, yeah.
The printing company, who really had nothing to do with it, lost, you know, went out of business, closed, everybody lost their jobs, you know. And then that, like, that marketing company had offices around the world. All those offices closed. Mm-hmm. Thousands of people lost their jobs because of this. Because they lost that McDonald's account, which is like their biggest account, and then other accounts followed suit after that. Other places, you know, like, well, you're not going to be running our shit either because you had this one guy that did something wrong.
Right.
So it's just kind of really crazy. And then all these other little backstories and side stories. And then there's a lot of humor all throughout it. It was really good.
Yeah. I enjoyed it quite a bit. And every time they'd end an episode, I'm like, well, how can they have more? Oh, because of that.
Oh, because of this, or because of this, or yeah. Yeah, we left a ton out, so he's definitely worth going to watch.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Please go watch this.
Yeah.
So.
You got any news, or? I know you sent me a trailer.
I got a couple of news. I got one trailer, and that's the one that I sent you, and one movie.
All right.
Go. Did you watch any movies?
I don't think so.
I watched Villains. You remember that one that we saw that has Jeffrey Donovan and Kira Sedgwick? You know, it's the two young kids, Bill Skarsgård and the girl who rob a convenience store and then break into the
couple's house. Yes, yes, yes.
It's on Hulu.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
How is it?
It's not bad.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Well, no, it's pretty good. It's basically what you saw in the previews, you know.
Oh, okay.
Two young criminals break into this house and discover that the people there are
old criminals.
Innocent, yeah.
All right, I'll check it out.
Yeah, definitely check it out. We'll talk about it afterwards.
Okay.
The trailer, The Great.
Yeah, that looked funny.
Elle Fanning and Nicholas Holt
yeah.
in feudal Russia. And it looks funny as hell. It's going to be a Hulu original. It's coming out in May.
It looks very, 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 very funny.
Yes, I'm very much looking forward to this one. Two pieces of news that I have.
Kevin Smith
let a rumor slip the other day. He said that he had heard this rumor that the third Spider-Man movie, they're going to be a lawyer in it. They're getting Charlie Cox to play Daredevil.
Yeah.
And he's like, and this seems to be one of those rumors that Marvel's like, fuck, how did that get out? I'd be down for that.
I'd be down for that, yeah.
Yeah, Matt Murdock? Hell yeah.
Yep.
We already talked about Ahsoka Tano.
Yeah.
And this was something I meant to bring up earlier. A couple weeks back, my mother wanted to show me something that she, because she watches The View every day.
Yeah.
And they had Anthony Daniels on there. He wrote a book about being C-3PO.
Really?
Yeah. And he was on there, and he was promoting the book, and he was talking about it, and saying, you know, how this was, he's the only character, the only actor to appear in all Star Wars movies.
All nine of them, yeah.
Yep. And how he loved it, and how when he went there to audition, you know, he almost didn't get the part. George Lucas originally came to him and wanted C-3PO to have, like, a rough and tough Brooklyn accent. And Anthony was like, no, fuck that. And did it in his proper British accent like that.
Yeah.
And it worked. Like, he thought that he was going to get fired from the set because George Lucas wanted him to have a Brooklyn accent.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was just, it was really nice to watch. His book comes out. It's either out now or it's coming out soon. I'll check that out.
So I'd like to read that, yeah.
Yeah, it's all about his life as C-3PO.
So. That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
Allegedly, Kevin Smith has finished or is finishing in his isolation right now Clerks 3 and Mallrats 2 scripts.
And I'll believe that when I see it.
You did watch. Yeah, we talked about it already.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I really haven't watched any movies.
It's weird, right? We have all this extra time.
I know. And I just, here's my problem. I was out of work for 3 weeks because of my surgery.
Right.
And in those 3 weeks, I got bored and tired of sitting at home watching TV. And I finally go back to work, and I get told, oh, you'll be working from home.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's hard. Like, so it's like for Kate, this is her first week working from home. So she's like, oh, okay, this is our, yeah, this is her first week. I was working from home last week, too. So she hasn't felt it yet. This is your first week working from home.
Yep.
You haven't felt it yet. This feels like week fucking five already for me of being at home. Because when I, after surgery, I couldn't go anywhere. I really couldn't do anything because I wasn't healthy. I couldn't,
right.
But you know, but I got antsy as shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally it's like, okay, good. We can do stuff. Oh no, no, you can't.
Yeah.
And I get it. I understand why.
Oh
but
yeah.
Still, I'm already at like that tired of sitting around watching TV or movies phase. And I don't, so Bosch, I think, has been good for me. The reason why I got hooked into Bosch is because the story's so good, and I literally just lay on the couch and stare at it. And I don't have to, and I'm not, what am I going to watch now? What am I going to put on? Or what movie do I want to put in? Or, do I really want to watch this show? It's like, no, I'm just going to watch these same characters for 4 hours and then go to bed.
Right.
I think that's why I'm kind of hooked into it so much.
Gotcha.
Maybe not, but I could do the same thing with Picard.
Yes, you owe it to yourself to check that out. Like I said, starting on Thursday, the final episode will be on there. So
I will say this. I tried, like, when I went to go watch, like, the first episode of Altered Carbon, I put it on, I watched the recap, and the episode started, and I was like, I'm not in the right frame of mind, so I shut it off, you know?
Yep, that's what I had.
And that's kind of how I've been a lot lately. Like, oh, I'm not in the right frame of mind. I'm not in the right frame of mind, you know? And I want mindless TV, and... Like, How I Met Your Mother's mindless TV, or Big Bang Theory's mindless TV, because I don't have to pay attention, you know.
And Family Guy and American Dad for me.
Same thing, you know. I bought Kate for her birthday, because they took it off. I bought her...
Friends?
Yeah, I bought her Friends.
How did I know?
Series, you know, DVD set or whatever. And, you know, it's a brand new DVD set, but, like, it's not... I apparently purchased the one where they didn't... It's not the... like, the first seasons are in 480. Like original, they didn't, it's not the, what's it called? Remastered.
Yeah.
It's not remastered. And Kate's like, I don't give a shit. She's like, I've seen them so many times, I really don't care. It's like, okay, that's fine. You know, like the later seasons will look better, but the first few seasons, you know.
So it's the one with the original resolution?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, see, that works on two levels because every episode of Friends was always the one with.
Oh yeah, there you go. Pa-dum-ching. So Kate's been kind of watching that, and I've been reading a book, and reading comics.
Nice.
Yeah. So I just. Yeah, like I said,
for me, it's video games.
For me, yeah. But for me, I'm on week 5 of isolation already.
Gotcha. And I mean, like, last week, I'm still coming over and recording with you.
Yes, yeah.
Last week, I have a friend who works from home for her normal job.
Yeah.
And I went over and had dinner with her. We were supposed to go out and get pizza, but
yeah.
She was like, I don't really want to go out. I said, I don't blame you.
So I don't want, yeah. Went over there. Well, that was the thing. Like, when I asked Kate, I was like, do you care if John comes over still? Because she's real, like, I don't want people coming over. Like,
oh, yeah.
She went to her mother's house tonight to bring a loaf of bread and wouldn't walk in the door. She stood in the doorway. Her mom's like, you're not coming? She's like, no.
Yeah.
This is what we're supposed to do.
And if at any point she said, no, I don't want him coming over, I'd understand. We'd figure something out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We could go online. She's like, he's working from home, right? I go, yeah. He's like, and she goes, well, this was her actually what she said. Well, he's working from home, right? I go, yeah. She's like, yeah, well, he's not going to do anything to make anyone in his family sick. So, yeah, if he wasn't feeling good, he wouldn't come over. If you told him that you weren't feeling good, he wouldn't come over. So, yeah, John's fine. I trust John.
Good.
And that was her big thing. She's like, yeah, he's not going to do anything to make anyone in his family
Fuck
sick
no.
or risk anything.
Fuck no.
I go, absolutely not. Just like we're not. So, but yeah, so that's why I messaged you earlier. I'm like, well, snow. I mean, you're like, I'm not worried about the weather. And I was just like, hell yeah.
Well, I thought it was so weird because I looked out the window and I'm like, the weather hasn't started yet. I'm like, dude, I'm not worried about it. Plus, it's Maine. It's the end of March. You know? Oh, you're going to get 4 to 6 inches. It'll be gone in a day.
Oh, they actually upped it to 5 to 10.
Oh, no.
Right?
You know what would be fucking hilarious?
They're going to close the state tomorrow. You know
if they close the state.
Yeah, they will. I'll tell you something when we go off.
Sure.
Not that anyone else is going to care. But, yeah, they'll close the state tomorrow. But, no, it's up to 5 to 10. But then it's going to be 50 degrees tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah. So it's all going to be gone.
Yeah.
And the ground's too soft to plow,
yeah.
Which, again, anybody who doesn't live in a snowy area wouldn't understand. But, you know,
yeah.
it's all muddy and goopy, and I really hope my plow guy doesn't come over.
No, you can't. No, you shouldn't be plowing right
no.
now. I still can't. I mean, it's going to be heavy, wet snow because it's going to be like 32 degrees while it's snowing. So it's right that borderline.
Yeah.
And I can't lift anything more than 10 pounds. So I ain't shoveling my driveway.
How do you carry your dick around?
It's attached.
Part of the package. Da-dum.
but it's Maine. Whatever. Hey, you know what? This is the first significant snowfall we've had since January 16th, I think.
Good.
I mean, this is craziness. One of my biggest fears having surgery in February was that we're going to get like tons of snowstorm. My wife's going to have to clean the driveway. My brother-in-law's going to have to come over, and I'm going to feel all useless. None so far.
Nice.
So is it just Westworld we're at?
Just Westworld.
All right. So this was a show I was excited to watch, and I did sit down to watch the first episode without hesitation.
Yes. I was like you. I had to be in the right state of mind because I didn't want to be playing a game. I didn't want to have it background.
Yep.
So I just sat right there in bed and watched it.
Yeah. And I enjoyed the hell out of it.
I did too.
Because I'll be honest, with all the trailers we saw and all the previews, I was hesitant because I really like the story when they're in the park.
Mm-hmm.
I just – that's real appealing to me.
Yep.
And to see this is 3 months after the end of season 2.
Oh, is that it?
Yep.
It felt like it was longer.
No, it's 3 months after. We're in that future world we're in. And Dolores is using, you know, false identities to get close to people of technology levels.
She has a digital assistant in her ear, but
yes.
She also seems to, like, be able to hack anything.
Yes.
Maybe it's the digital assistant that helps her, but.
Right.
You know, because she can just turn on motorcycles. She can, you know, she tells the digital assistant, she's like, get me an apartment in this building. Working on lease prepared.
Yeah. And we see that you have, Dolores has 5.
Cores,
thank you. Already,
because you were still thinking stacks from.
Yeah, I was. And this was interesting. So I completely forgot about Charlotte.
Mm.
Being killed and a new host being created. And she's here now and she's taking over Delos.
Yep.
She's taking control of Delos. And then you have Dolores is trying to get...
Who died and left her in charge. I assume that's rhetorical.
Yeah. And you have Dolores who's trying to get all these... basically take control of all these artificial intelligence that are out there now. Mm-hmm. Obviously she wants to join them together, do whatever she's wanting to do. And she gets mixed up with this one guy, and his head of security is Tommy Flanagan.
Which, again, awesome actor.
Oh, awesome actor. And he basically, like, he's about to tell Dolores who the real person in charge is. And Tommy steps in, knocks her out, and you know, gives her an injection or whatever. And he's like, oh, you know, you're about to fuck shit up.
And I'm just watching her the whole time. I'm like, she's playing possum.
Yeah. And then he, like, puts her on their special flying craft. And they go to where they're going to go and then get in the car. And then he tries to overdose her, and she's not overdosing. And then finally she basically like, all right, I'm going to kill everybody now.
Yeah, she goes Terminator on him.
Yeah. And the coolest thing is when, like, you know, she's going through the park and shooting everyone and killing everyone. And she catches up with Flanagan's character and outsteps from this car. Because we see this car pull up and he sees it, freaks out and runs off. And then we have this whole thing. Outsteps from this car is a, I don't know if it's Westworld, but a robot, I guess, or AI or whatever.
Host.
Host, thank you, of him.
Mm-hmm.
And the host kills him. And it's like, then it's funny because later on, in like the preview for next week, it's implied that the stack that is in him is, I want to say Johnny, but that's not it.
Oh, James Marsden's character.
James Marsden's character, yeah, from the previous seasons.
Yeah.
That's the stack that she put in him. It's not a fresh or brand new one. It's right. One that existed, which that would be interesting.
That would. Yeah. Yeah. The guy that she was mixed up with, who this is his head of security, his dad created an artificial intelligence that's this giant sphere in a, yes, building that predicts everything.
Yes.
You know, he strategizes. That's what he does, is he strategizes and he can predict things. So she's working on getting that. A lot of cool tech in this episode.
Yep.
That was what's going on with Dolores. We also find that Bernard is working on a cow farm, but it's like, you know, a slaughterhouse built into a cow farm. And
he's trying to stay low.
And he has an alternate identity, and he has a little clicker button. And yeah, when he clicks the button, he becomes Bernard. And when he clicks it again, he becomes this other guy.
Yeah.
And
but he's aware of both.
Yes.
He's aware.
Because he'll ask questions. He'll be like, have you had any contact with Dolores? And then he'll click the button. No.
Yeah.
Click. Are you certain that you have not been discovered? Click. No. Click.
Yeah.
So he can control it. He does all this stuff. Two of the guys that work there find a wanted poster for him, and they're like, oh, you think we wouldn't discover you, blah, blah, blah.
And he's got like a $12 million bounty or something, yeah, like that, yeah.
So they're going to take him down, and they knock him down on the ground, and he pulls out the clicker, and he's like, remember who you are. Don't hurt them too badly. Click. And then a different personality takes over, and he, yeah, ninjas the fuck out of them.
Yeah.
And
loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then clicks the button again to turn it off. So it's not like, you know, it's not the Hulk and Banner where,
right,
they're fighting for control.
Yeah.
So that was
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Caleb.
Yeah.
He was a guard in Westworld.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's in the real world and he's trying to take care of his mother who's sick. And so we see his story going along of all the little odd jobs he's doing, where he's working now, how he's working with this other robot building this building. And then, like, he goes on to this app on his phone, basically.
Which is fucking great because, yeah, it looks like a video game, essentially. Yes.
And it's like, you want to get paid, motherfucker?
Yeah.
And then he selects a job and he goes.
Based on the number of dollar signs.
Yeah.
You know, this one's got one, two. Oh, this one's got three. That's a good payout.
And then he goes and does these jobs, and they could be anything from providing security to being a lookout to whatever.
To delivering a package.
And in one of his jobs, he has to deliver a car to.
A car and a package.
A car and a package down to. Which ends up being Tommy Flanagan's character there, Martin Collins, the head of security.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't see Dolores then, but he gets out. And I like it when the guy points the gun in his head and goes like, oh, gee, another gun to my head.
Yeah.
Great.
And no, then he just. No, he says, you wouldn't be the first one to point a gun at my head. And he goes, yeah, you want me to be the first one to shoot you in the head? No, somebody already beat you there.
Someone beat you to it. And the guy just puts his gun away.
Yeah, he's like, all right, I got
no. Yeah. No, someone already beat you to that one.
Yeah.
He puts his gun away. And then he just walks off.
Yeah.
And then, for whatever reason, he's drawn to go back there, and he heads back there, and it's after everything that's happened in the park, and the new host has come and killed, you know, the real Tommy Flanagan or whatever, and then she's like, I'll take care of all these bodies, and then she's now walking through a tunnel and he's heading back through because, like I said, he's drawn to go back there and he runs into Dolores. And it's weird because he's not surprised to see her. And he's like, oh my God, what happened to you? And it's almost like he feels whole again because he's with Dolores and this is a familiar scenario where she's injured and he's in the bunk.
Right.
Oh, and also we see Dolores run into people.
I was gonna say, thank you.
Who raped her in the park and she takes her revenge.
Yeah. So including Tommy Flanagan's character.
So she does take her revenge on several people.
Yes.
As well that came and violated her in the park at some point because she has all her memories.
Yep.
From all the years she was there. And then we see Maeve.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
In a little PS scene.
And this is very peculiar to me. Mm-hmm. Because last we saw of Maeve, she was getting on the boat to get out of there, wasn't she?
No, she got shot. When she was helping her daughter and that other woman escape through the doorway.
Yes, because she went back.
Yes.
That's right. She was on the train to leave and then went back.
Yes.
Okay, I forgot.
Yeah.
But yes, and she wakes up in a World War II theme park with Nazis.
And she must be one of the other worlds.
She's a black woman?
There are six worlds.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was Westworld and Samurai World, and those are the only two we saw.
Well, no, we saw the India world, remember?
Yes, India world, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Maeve is in like a World War II themed park with a bunch of Nazis.
And two of them, one of them is dead on the floor.
Yes.
One of them is hogtied on the bed.
Yeah.
And she's got a weapon.
Yeah.
And that's where we're left with her.
And she looks outside the window and there's marching and singing a giant like Nazi banner hanging down.
I think it was World War I.
No, it was World War II because they had the swastika. Sure? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Had the swastika. They didn't have that World War I. So, yeah, I'm excited to watch episode two.
Yes. I was hesitant too because the last season was so mediocre. You know, it wasn't as good as the first season.
Yes, it really was not as good as the first season.
But this one already has me really hooked.
Yes. Yeah,
I really like the future world. I like the guy's t-shirt that had all the different moods on it. And then it would light up.
Yeah, I thought that was funny.
So when it lit up angry, I'm like, oh, that guy's going to get his fucking ass knocked out.
Yeah.
And he did, too.
But it was interesting. It was really, really interesting because I didn't have a lot of hopes, actually. The trailers looked cool. I mean, you know, that we saw, very vague. But I wasn't really, really excited because I just didn't have a lot of faith that it was going to pay off.
Right.
And it did.
Yeah.
Like, I thought I wasn't going to like the story so much in the future world or outside the parks.
Right. But you were incorrect.
I was incorrect.
It's great.
It really is. Is that it?
That's it.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. We'll record next week unless we get... you know, forced to not to be able to record together.
Yeah, we'd have to dig out like the old
Skype and stuff. And... yeah, I mean, my headset still works and everything.
Yeah.
So my wife's using it to work from home. But anyways, until then, Twitter, I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
That's the show.
Later.